It's Friday, everyone. The best of days. And this one is particularly be best because we are now gonna have the return of Brett Ehrlich. Brett, welcome home.
It is so great to be back on the damage report. Got it. The damn age report, where we tell you just how old the dams are in America and whether they're
old,
leaking.
Actually.
They're very old.
Anyway, thank you for joining one of the old busted shows on the TYT network after piloting the new hotness of Unbossed for several weeks, helping that show get off the ground. I think with the hindsight of 2 weeks, we can all say it was a rousing success, correct?
I hope so, man. It's difficult to get a show off the ground. And we did it. We're doing it every day. You gotta, you know, as John knows better than anyone, actually a good proportion better than anyone, doing a show one a day is difficult. Not let alone the five a day that John sometimes does. So we respect and admire all the people that put all that hard work into Unbossed, which airs at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/TYT. And then at exactly. all your other outlets and platforms at /UnbossedTYT.
Yes, everyone check it out. I understand, by the way, that we apparently are having some brief audio sync issues. I'm sure people behind the scenes are working to fix that. While they're doing that, we're gonna be working to bring you the news that you need to know, including in just a minute some breaking news. That's gonna be not fun, but we're also gonna be talking about nuclear war and how we're apparently not going to have one. So that's cool. We're gonna give you a little preview of what people are thinking about as we approach where the last 2 weeks before these midterms. What are people focusing on? Is it what the media says they're focusing on? We're gonna dive into that. We have in the extended show the return of Lara Logan, who has been literally banned from Newsmax, which I didn't even think was a thing that they did, but is still broadcasting. And of course, we will be closing out the full show with the throwing away of our garbage people of the week, which I'm very excited for. I really like mine this week. We're gonna see who Brett has chosen for us. For now, though, if you're already here, please hit the like button, share the stream. And if you wanna send us any comments, tweets, or super chats, maybe words of congratulations for Brett's epic return to the damage report, you can send us those and we'll respond as we go. With all that said, Brett, you ready to start the show?
Yes, let's.
Yes, we Fridays generally, if you're new, we try to do lighter, more fun news. We're gonna get to some of that, but you know, the news is what it is. So let's launch into this first topic. Paul Pelosi, the husband of Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, was apparently violently assaulted in their San Francisco home. We're gonna give you the details as we know them right now. Bear in mind, this has just happened, and so the details are limited. We know that he was taken to the hospital early today. Pelosi's office say that he was assaulted by an attacker who broke into the Pelosi home. We know that. Well, we know that he's 82 years old. Just bear that in mind for Paul Pelosi. He was attacked by a guy with a hammer. We also found out as time passed this morning that the Pelosi home had been specifically targeted. And then we found out that the assailant apparently shouted, "Where is Nancy?" as he broke into the home and attacked her husband. The assailant is apparently in custody. Motivation for the attack is under investigation. Mr. Pelosi was taken to the hospital where he's receiving excellent medical care, they say, and is expected to make a full recovery. Bearing in mind, he's being attacked with a hammer, which is just devastating. It's the stuff of horror movies we can't even imagine. Hopefully, he will fully recover. We have been given some indication about the motivation for this, and it's not difficult to imagine that the husband of the Speaker of the House might be attacked for political reasons. That said, we're also coming off of a week where Marco Rubio made bold claims about why one of his canvassers was attacked that turned out not to be true. So while it seems incredibly likely and the evidence so far does point to an explicit political motivation, let's also bear in mind that we do not know everything about this and information can change, especially once you're out of the immediate aftermath of a crime like this. That said, Brett, what do you think?
For all the soulless people who follow the news, this is awesome news, sort of. At least they feel alive. There's so many people right now who are hoping one of two things happen, depending on their political proclivities. People on the right are hoping it was some immigrant who recently got let out of jail for assault only to go to the home of Nancy Pelosi and beat the crap out of her husband. And for people who are hoping that this is yet another attack by the people on the right, inspired by the words of the man in the halls of Congress yelling, "Where's Nancy?" Before, you know, trying to hurt her, maim her, abduct her. A lot of people are salivating for that to be the case. Decent human beings across the world have the ability to think it is bad that Nancy Pelosi and her husband continue to stoke the fires that power the elites, but also don't want Paul Pelosi to be attacked by a hammer. I'm in that school of thought. I fear that the people who are ginned up by the January 6th messaging are the ones responsible for going up and assaulting Paul Pelosi and looking for Nancy. That's what that looks like. But in the event that that was a misreported thing, I hope that everyone in the world reserves judgment until they have absolute confirmation as to the motivations of the attacker.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, we don't know. The reference to where's Nancy could be, it could be misheard, it could be misreported. God only knows. We honestly don't know. Again, we're not stupid. Like, it's possible that it was a political motivation. It's possible that this guy went in there not looking for Paul, but looking for Nancy. It is possible at this point. I would say if I had a pie chart of all of the likelihoods of explanations, the single biggest slice is this guy wanted to murder Nancy Pelosi with a hammer.
Yes.
If I had to guess, he broke into the home to assassinate the Democratic Speaker of the House. We do not know for sure. Perhaps by the time we're on the power panel on the Young Turks, we'll know more. But it seems entirely likely that this was someone. Who knows, Brett, you did a good job of sketching out. There are potentially different groups that this could represent, but that likely the Democratic Speaker of the House is being targeted for assassination in the 2 weeks leading up to the midterms. Midterms where there has been a lot of talk about political violence and extremism and the death of democracy, or the impending murder plot against democracy. So we'll see. I don't want to jump to any more baseless speculation than I guess I already have, but I'm a little bit worried to see what some are going to say about this. Now, like, this is the sort of thing where if the most likely explanation turns out to be true, which it has not been confirmed yet, it's the sort of thing that perhaps could lead individuals or a group to stop and take a second to think about the rhetoric, where their movement is going. Instead, you are going to be told by the craziest people on the internet that this was a false flag. That's my prediction. Again, this is just the speculation part of our talk.
That's true. That is something I did not think about. I only thought the depravity went so low, but John has pulled out the bottom of that barrel and found an entire prepper den of insanity below it.
Yeah. Now, we do have some immediate responses to this attack. Karine Jean-Pierre, press secretary for President Joe Biden, says the president is praying for Paul Pelosi and for Speaker Pelosi's whole family. He is also very glad that a full recovery is expected. Representative Pramila Jayapal, who was threatened in her home, you might recall, like maybe 6 weeks ago, a guy apparently had a gun outside of her home, says that Speaker Pelosi was very sympathetic to the need to get additional security for members, that she seemed to understand the new threat that these forces present. And in a tweet, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell wrote, "Horrified and disgusted by the reports that Paul Pelosi was assaulted in his and Speaker Pelosi's home last night. Grateful to hear that Paul is on track to make a full recovery and that law enforcement, including our stellar Capitol Police, are on the case." That is a good tweet that was not needlessly undercut with a lot of nonsense. So good. Those are the statements that I've chosen to focus on at this point. I am very worried about what other ones will come out.
Yep. Anyway, and I agree with additional security for members of Congress until we solve the problem of everyone being a little more psycho than normal. Yeah. When it comes to being radicalized by things that have to do with politics, this threat of violence layer that is banked on by members of the right is absolutely, positively un-American. If you want to call it American, it's like the equivalent of being Amish, when it comes to America. You can't say that because we were founded after a revolution that everything since then has to be bathed in the blood of patriots. You just can't do that. And so I also am pulling for Paul Pelosi to make a full recovery outside this window where everybody is focused on him. I hope he gets back up on his feet, and then we can get back to making it illegal for him to make insider trades.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah. Him being attacked doesn't mean that we don't have the same policy issues with his wife and her position as a leader in the Democratic Party, of course. By the way, I'll also remind you, I don't remember if there was any political motivation that was ever established in this, but Representative Karen Bass's home was actually broken into recently as well. I don't know if that was an explicitly political thing, but I don't know. I would prefer not to even have the building blocks of a pattern in this way. I don't want Pramila Jayapal to be threatened in that way. I don't want right-wing weirdos stalking AOC as she walks around the Capitol. I'd like to have none of those. How about that? Doesn't seem like too much to ask for. That said, let's widen our view and talk about the future, not just of the Pelosi household, but of all households. There's been a lot of concern recently about the possibility that nuclear arms could be used in the conflict in Ukraine following Russia's invasion. There's been a lot of talk from Russia about the possible use by Ukraine of a dirty bomb. Well, there's also a lot of concern that they will launch so-called tactical nukes at Ukraine. Vladimir Putin is attempting, I guess, to reassure us that that is not likely at this point to happen, saying that he denies that he would conduct a nuclear strike in Ukraine. Apologies. Saying it doesn't make sense for us to do it. We have only hinted in response to statements made by Western leaders. Which, look, I get that that can be interpreted as, thus, don't worry as much, which is good. I don't want anyone to have to worry about nuclear war. The idea that you seem to be saying that because someone else said something, you had to falsely imply that you'll nuke the country you're currently invading is weird in its own way. But whatever moves us farther away from nuclear war, I guess, is good. Now, bear in mind, in that statement, which is part of the beginnings of their yearly nuclear readiness drills, he does again repeat claims that Ukraine is preparing to use a dirty bomb, saying that they would nuke themselves, then claim that it was a Russian nuclear strike. He says, but it doesn't make sense for us to do it either politically nor militarily, which I agree in both cases. I honestly do not see how nuking Ukraine would help their situation in either of those areas. Also, I will say that politically, it wouldn't really help Ukraine to do this stupid conspiratorial plot, because setting off your own dirty bomb is not going to look anything like an ICBM being launched by Russia at Ukraine. That would be the most see-through false flag ever. It is insulting to every person forced to listen to it to think that that's a thing that Russia seriously fears that the Ukraine is going to do. In any event, we're a little bit further away from nuclear war, Brett, so that's a good way to greet the Friday.
If you are fighting over territory that you want to be part of your country, it doesn't really make sense to make it radioactively uninhabitable for decades. Like, that doesn't make sense. Now, who's motivated by doing what, right? Like, there's people who will believe, like, I don't think that Vladimir Putin will do it. He's basically signaling, like, remember the game we played all of 80s? Let's do this again. Let's do it forever. Let's just have mutual assured destruction. And I will, in the meantime, try to slowly expand in ways that do not trigger nuclear war. Like, I'll be very Russian. And imperialist, like America, imperialist, it's fun game. And it's all over legacy. But what I will say is that I don't think, if it is the case that someone's using, if a nuclear dirty bomb happens, the only, like, whoever has decided that they're not actually interested in that area would be responsible. Mm-hmm. And if this is like a geopolitical play by Russia to exert more influence and create a buffer between them and the so-called West, it only makes sense for them to use a dirty bomb. They were just chilling, dude.
Yes, I will say, bearing in mind that you know, even in the couple of months where Russia had stationed 100,000 troops along the border of Ukraine, I didn't think they would invade. So take any of my predictions with a grain of salt. I find it inconceivable that Russia would do this, that they would nuke Ukraine, that they even would do the dirty bomb thing. Now, I don't have a good explanation as to what it is that they're doing at that nuclear plant, why it appears that they're doing construction there, although perhaps it's repairs, why they won't let international observers there. That said, I still find it inconceivable that they would utilize nuclear arms. I want to get to one more comment that was made during the speech. Putin accused the West of, quote, fueling the war in Ukraine, which, yeah, I think that that's fair. I think that they are fueling the war. I would argue that it's also being fueled by the country that's invading it. So, you know, both sides on that one. But anyway, he said that dominion of the world is precisely what the so-called West has decided to stake in this game. But this game is a dangerous, dirty, and deadly one. I think that anyone pointing out that the United States wants dominion over at least a lot of the world is probably safe in that estimation. I would say that we already have dominion over quite a bit of the planet. But you do undercut your argument just a little bit when you're in the middle of invading and conquering another country, and it's not even the first other country you've invaded and conquered in the last decade or so. So you might be right that maybe the US does want dominion. Maybe the US should keep to itself, but you also could have not then apparently played into their hands by attempting to conquer another sovereign nation. That would be my point, Brett. What do you think?
Yeah, it is weird. Sorry, I was looking at a link sent an update on Paul Pelosi, who's undergoing brain surgery.
Yes.
It is weird to me that whenever Vladimir Putin says the West is imperialist, to then say that Russia, home of the czars and various Russian empires over time, is not imperialist. There's an amazing video that I watched recently that was actually by Richard Nixon back in like the 90s or whatever, right as the Soviet Union was falling. He was like, I am terrified of what Russia would be without communism because it will just go. And then he just basically predicts Vladimir Putin. It will go to like oligarchy and a reattempt at the, you know, they'll default back to the instincts of Russian imperialism to expand their sphere of influence without any pretense of helping the average Russian along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't helping. I'll say what I've always said. Just go. Go. It would help. You, well, not you, maybe, although I can't imagine this is long term going to be helping your standing, that you're doing all this damage to the Russian economy. It certainly would help all of the Russians and families of Russians who will die in this needless war. And let's say that you're right, that this is all part of a US plot for dominion over the world, then don't help them along with that. If they apparently want this war, deny them it. And you can give a little speech about how you stood up to the US or whatever. I don't care what you say. Just end the war and then we won't have a war. How great would that be? Anyway, Biden responded very quickly to what Putin said about nukes, saying, if he has no intention, why does he keep talking about it? Why does he talk about the ability to use a tactical nuclear weapon? He's been very dangerous in how he's approached this. Putin can end this all, get out of Ukraine. Yes, we'll see. He could at any point. I don't see what at this point they're hoping to gain. I am just really hoping that for once my predictions come true and there's no use of nukes there. That's what I'll say. Okay, with that said though, we are gonna go to our first break. When we come back, Marjorie Greene attacks Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott kind of on policy. What year is it? We'll break it down after this. Okay, we've got news to talk about. Why don't we start off by launching into this?
Now, I know it makes great headlines on Fox News and we laugh about it. It's funny when we see busloads get dropped off like in Martha's Vineyard, we're like, ha ha ha, you know, or we see them dropped off in front of Kamala Harris's house and we're like, oh, the borders are ours. Should she care now? Let me tell you though, I so disagree with that.
Okay, so I'm gonna briefly cruise right past the her thinking it's hilarious that people get dropped off somewhere that they can't stay and don't know in a difficult situation. I'm gonna skip over the fact that this far into it, she still doesn't know how to pronounce the name of the vice president. That is Marjorie Greene criticizing two of the most high profile Republican governors, including one who could well be the Republican presidential nominee, Ron DeSantis, for their policy of busing and flying migrants around the country as some sort of political stunt. Well, why is she against this? Let's hear a little bit more.
Here's why. That is the same thing as putting them on airplanes and shipping them all over the country. And it's Republicans doing it. I know Governor Abbott's trying to do something about it. I know Governor DeSantis wants to do something about it. But I disagree with sending them all over the country because we ended up with them getting off the bus in Chattanooga in Dade County. And that just happened recently. God bless the sheriff there. No, but seriously though, this is what's happening. It should not be happening.
Okay, so it shouldn't be happening. Stop doing it. Now, she knows that Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis are doing that to, not to solve the problem or whatever, to make themselves look cool, to raise their profile. Ron DeSantis definitely thinks this is a tool that can be used to increase the chance that he becomes the Republican nominee, and she is standing against him. Now, bear in mind, there's been a lot of talk recently about her potentially being the vice presidential nominee alongside Donald Trump. Donald Trump has no goal more pressing over the next year than absolutely destroying Ron DeSantis. So is this connected to that? Maybe not. She might just be speaking off the cuff. She's a crazy person. That's possible. But I do think it's interesting that she's criticizing them. The reasoning is awful. She doesn't want it to be done partially because she seems to think that it's helping them, that they get to go somewhere and then be there. And that's not the solution she wants. She doesn't want them, certainly not in her district and apparently not even on Martha's Vineyard. But Brett, what do you think?
The only explanation for this clip of Marjorie Taylor Greene is it has begun. Election season 2024 has officially begun. And Donald Trump is using Marjorie Taylor Greene to signal to the entire psycho base of the right wing that Ron DeSantis and the Governor Abbott are no-goes. This is how it begins. It will end 100% unequivocally if Donald Trump does, and it seems like he will, decide to run when Trump plays the ad of just Ron DeSantis and Abbott just licking Trump butt. That is what it is. There is no way that Abbott, okay, I just thought of a debate thing for Abbott. But anyways, for Abbott and DeSantis to stand next to Donald Trump on a debate stage and win, there is no way in hell that that's gonna happen. They have no chance. But right now it has started and Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying, hey racists, I know you thought it was cute and not because it's wrong, but because it makes you like someone who's not Trump, I will shut it down right stinking now. 100%, no other explanation in my mind.
Wow, I am actually shocked by this. I did not think that you would buy that as a connection, that you'd think it was just random. Interesting. Okay.
When else has when else has a political stunt against the libs seemed like a bad idea to Marjorie Taylor Greene?
That's true.
Never.
And there is no way generally in
hell that. Wait, go ahead.
Well, she doesn't generally, I'm not gonna say she doesn't criticize any Republicans. She sort of criticizes Kevin McCarthy a little bit or Mitch McConnell, but she does not criticize Republicans who are identified as part of the MAGA thing.
Which means that's the only change. And why didn't she say this right when it began?
Yeah,
why was that not her original reaction? No, her reaction changed. And do you think she comes up with ideas? No. Donald Trump, if Donald Trump chooses Marjorie Taylor Greene as his vice presidential candidate, there is no way in hell that anyone with a brain in their body would ever vote for that ticket because she is one 80-year-old's heartbeat away from the presidency at that point. Right now, Donald Trump has, in my opinion, reached out to Marjorie Taylor Greene, says, maybe you'll be my vice presidential candidate. I think you should start taking a more of a leadership role in the messaging of the Trump 2024 campaign. Please don't tell anybody. And then said, I need you to go undercut DeSantis and Abbott because I think we need to stop their rise to the top.
Maybe
that just happened. And he'll pull the rug out from under her like he's done so many times, like he's about to with DeSantis and with Chris. He already didn't invite DeSantis to a Florida get out the vote rally. That is happening right now. Where both DeSantis and Rubio are running. It's begun.
Yeah, he could easily have invited him. Yeah, and by the way, this morning on the watch list, JR showed apparently Trump was sharing some sort of video that was mocking DeSantis's chances in 2024. So look, I think you're probably onto it. This is probably a coordinated thing. She's going to be attacking him, and she can. She's crazy. And if it, by the way, if it backed, if it like backed,
backfires.
Losing my mind. Backfires. Thank you. I don't know how words work. If it backfires against her, well then Trump didn't do it. He never has to nominate her. It's just a thing that she did at that point. And he could put Lauren Boebert or Louis Gohmert or someone else who rhymes in that way as the VP. But I will also point out, because I am not going to miss an opportunity to mock Donald Trump. Why don't you just do it? Alpha, big guy, tough man. You're the strong man, literally the strong man the Republicans want. Just attack him. Why are you so afraid to attack Ron DeSantis? I mean that very serious. Well, partially I mean it as a taunt because he's a baby, he's weak. But I also think he doesn't need to be afraid to attack Ron DeSantis. I think if he attacked Ron DeSantis, the right would turn against DeSantis and stick with him. I think it's a pretty safe bet. But Donald Trump is not certain of that. He is very worried about how exactly to go about this. And I'm sure he's gonna land on it at some point. When they get on the debate stage, if DeSantis does run, eventually he's gonna have to start attacking him. He'll do it. But he has been so hesitant to openly attack him. He just keeps doing these little slights that are sort of like backhanded, or they could be interpreted as attacking him. Why doesn't he just come out and attack DeSantis?
Because Jesus, why did Jesus ever go in the cave for 3 days? Like,
I actually
to make
don't know.
A comeback. Like, he doesn't want to get his hands too dirty. He still wants plausible deniability. This offers him way more. To doing what? When did he talk crap about DeSantis explicitly?
No. I'm not saying in that. I'm saying, when has he ever been afraid of looking petty or cruel?
I wouldn't say this is
or
afraid.
Crass.
I don't think he's afraid. He doesn't have, like, he's being smart.
Why does he keep talking about how it's so disloyal that they won't say they won't run against me? Why is he so focused on that they won't run against him? Does that not betray that he's worried about them running against him? I don't think he needs to be.
He doesn't need to be, but this is just something to say. This is a way to taunt people. He is taunting people all the time. And to have Marjorie Taylor Greene do it first, A, it's a way of testing to see whether people will actually buy it. It's another person saying something besides just you. It gives you plausible deniability. You don't get your hands dirty just yet because you don't have to. If you can send your attack dogs out there, you do. If you have pawns to sacrifice, sacrifice them. Don't expose yourself if you don't need to. There, just because you're not making something that's not making a risky move doesn't mean that you're a scaredy cat. You're just trying to be smart.
I don't think it means that for everyone. I think for him to finally break this pattern, I have to think there's a significant reason for it, especially when, in my view, there is so little cost to, like you're saying, like you keep your hands clean. That's how most politicians think about this stuff, and they don't attack each other. Trump does not worry about his hands being clean. And why is he going to allow DeSantis to have months more to build his reputation on the right when he could potentially hamstring him right now? There's a cost to waiting.
But he's doing.
I don't think it's a freebie.
If I'm right, he is doing something. He's sending Marjorie Taylor Greene to send a warning shot to him, to DeSantis, back off.
Maybe. Well, look, we disagree to some extent, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to attack you. I'm just going to call Jessica Burbank and have her talk smack about you online or whatever. That's the way that these things are done.
It's like the same reason that everyone argued that Obama argued he wouldn't have a face to face with Kim Jong Un. You don't want me to dignify you with that kind of stuff. I'll send an envoy. Like, that's the same.
But Obama is not Trump.
But
they're different people in terms of how willing they are to be petty and gross and cruel and constantly mocking and attacking. They're not the same person.
You just don't
final
take
point
the meeting.
Goes to you.
You just don't take the meeting. Like, Trump will, he's just not taking the meeting. He's sending someone to have the meeting for him. That's like a business move. Okay. That's an access move. He doesn't want to. He wants to. It's a high status move not to personally engage. And he chose in this moment. He's not a very disciplined person. So if he hasn't been agitated into making a mistake, he's sending Marjorie Taylor Greene to kind of to see what happens when she does that. Period. It's smart.
We are going to, I think, necessarily Oh, Adam Risch agrees with you. You're wrong on this one, John. Just take the L. No, actually, definitely, you're now also wrong, Adam. Brett is wrong, and now you're wrong with him. Anyway, we're going to, I think, start a segment tracking this war, this petty little Rock'em Sock'em robot fight between those two. So we'll be checking in the future. Don't worry about that.
Corporations, the corporations have anything to fear from a populist house, ma'am?
But you know what they did after January 6th, Steve? They stopped donating. They saw all the lobbyists, all the big corporations stopped donating to a whole bunch of my Republican colleagues that they used to donate to. They said, oh no, we can't support you because of the big lie or whatever they want to call it. So I want you to know, and this is something that they should all know, that's not going to be forgotten by a whole bunch of my Republican colleagues because that was really ridiculous and wrong.
Okay, so it is bad enough that you have Marjorie Greene then openly saying to Steve Bannon in one of the remaining days before he goes to prison that because corporations haven't given them enough money recently, they're going to launch investigations into them. And she expounds on that, saying there's going to be investigations coming, should be R, but whatever. And there should be, there definitely should be, because the way corporations have conducted themselves, I've always called it corporate communism. So look, we can talk about how this is a direct threat to investigate corporations for not giving you money. We can talk about how, again, the supposed defenders of free speech think you have to give us money or we will lock you up. Or we can spend a couple minutes, Brett, inquiring as to what the hell she thinks communism is.
She just means it's like a bad word. That's
it's
all
just
she
a
is.
Bad word.
I hate to break it to you, but even your side's criticism of communism is that they use the power of the government to undercut the actions of private enterprise. That's it. So what you're doing is what you say happens in communist countries, where you use the government to say, well, something's going wrong here in this business. We're going to take it over. And we are going to basically say that we, the government, are entitled to the assets of a company. That is closer to communism than a company saying, I'm not going to donate money to people who would in turn essentially sully my brand because those people think that America shouldn't be a democracy anymore.
Yeah. Few people in America probably could give a robust definition of communism. A good chunk, I think, could give you an overall idea. So it's not like she's alone in having no idea what it means. And she's certainly not alone in being a right winger who knows that you can just use the word and everyone that you want to like you is going to interpret it as, oh yeah, that is bad. Even though it's literally a private corporation, which exists, which is unique in a communist system, isn't giving them enough money and that makes them communists. She also goes on to say, by the way, that they should focus on customer service instead of politics. Don't focus on politics. Also, if you don't give me money, we will investigate you for things.
Yeah, all right, Karen.
It's madness.
You say you want your money back, Karen. Like you are considering yourself the customer. And she's like the textbook definition of a Karen. She feels entitled to something from the manager of this company. And she doesn't think that anything she could possibly do behaviorally would allow them to say, I'm sorry, no shirt, no shoes, no brain, no service. And she's throwing an absolute Karen style fit. This is what I hate. Like when people say we shouldn't use the power of the government to go after people who have done nothing wrong. That applies to if you're using the FBI to investigate someone on the right or the left, if you're going and rounding up your political opponents. I agree that we should not use the power of our judicial system, our legal system, to carry out personal political vendettas.
Yes.
And a lot of people think that the only thing you should take away from that thought is do not use the legal system to go after people at all in the political sphere. What the right takes advantage of is the obvious exception to that rule. They ignore the exception to that rule. Is what if that person has actually committed a crime? What if that person has absolutely positively taken advantage of this axiom that's like, okay, we shouldn't go after political figures, and use that as cover to commit grievous illegal activity? Where does that leave us now? Now it leaves the decent people to, you know, tread lightly and make sure that their political, their legal case is carried out effectively and completely free of any vulnerability to impugn its integrity. But these folks are absolutely, that's the one dynamic I want everybody to focus on when they're saying, why are you going after your political enemies? It's like, well, what if they've committed horrible crimes? We owe it to everybody to at least investigate them. But what she's laying out is not even anywhere close to a crime. It's like the definition of Citizens United.
Yeah, and that's one of the terrible things about their constant conspiracy theorizing is that politicians do commit crimes. They frequently are corrupt and need to be investigated for that. But they have spent so much time wasting our time on nonsense that even they know isn't true, that a real investigation now looks pointless and political. That's, they have dragged everything down into the mud. Everything. It seems detached from reality. That's why they co-opt language like fake news and things like insurrection, like the big lie. They don't want things to mean things. They want everything to seem suspicious. Everything, you should probably just line up, you know, based on tribal allegiance or whatever. Corporate communism. She said, by the way, back in 2021, that vaccine passports are corporate communism. I don't know what any of this means at this point. Okay, well, look, we're gonna start to show her some more respect in the near future because she might well be the next VP. With that said, though, we are gonna take our next break. When we come back, though, Lauren Windsor of Undercurrent has got some Republican politicians on the line having to respond to her talking about shooting migrants. We're gonna see how they do in this little test after this. Okay, let's get into some news. I think we have time for both these topics. How nice is that? Lauren Windsor of Undercurrent has been traveling around the country throughout this election cycle, getting Republicans to say what they really think when they don't think they're being taped. In her most recent videos, she's talking to Blake Masters and Paul Gosar under the guise of being a person who is apparently shooting migrants trying to cross the border, engaging their responses. Let's see how Blake Masters did.
So my family's ranch, we have illegals coming over, and we've shot at people that are illegals coming over, and you know, now it's like, all right, did we hit anyone? You know, like, are we shooting to kill? Like, you know, I mean, you know, we have our state's right to form a militia and stuff that's in the Constitution, but it's like, you know, it gives us a lot of anxiety.
It's so hard to live on the border.
Yeah.
Okay, so bearing in mind that responding to someone talking about potentially having randomly murdered migrants by saying, yeah, it is so hard to live on the border is not a great response. Brett, I am curious what you think about this tactic. It is possible that Blake Masters would just feel really uncomfortable talking to someone who is talking about killing migrants. That said, he's running for office and people want to know what he actually thinks about these sorts of things. So what did you make of that interaction?
You say don't shoot them is what you do. That's what you say. But we live in a post-Trump society that is post a John McCain society. There was one famous moment during a town hall on CNN, I think it was, where a woman said something horrible, and John McCain said, actually, no, that is false. He might for a moment have seemed like a decent, humane individual. He said, no, ma'am, he's not a Muslim. He weirdly said that, he implied that Muslims are bad people, but he was like, he's a good man, he's a family man, and we disagree on issues. And that used to imply civility. And that was one of the redeeming factors of high level politicians, when redeeming factors in a high level politician were hard to come by. But since everything about any politician has been deemed evil and insider and swampy by the right, and any whiff of humanity has been considered weakness, Blake Masters is doing what a post-Trump politician does. And I would say that that kind of a trapping of those trappings of a politician are way worse and way more evil, because he is saying, listen, I know that I have confirmation that what I'm saying is radicalizing people into just taking pot shot, like taking random shots at people who are just seeking a better life. And Blake Masters, rather than call that out for the obvious stupidity and evil that it is like, man, it must be tough.
It must be tough. You have to occasionally reload. Maybe the cops are asking questions about you randomly murdering people. That is tough. Yeah, that's definitely true. His goal in that interaction is to not lose a voter, a murderous psychopathic voter, but a voter, I guess. By the way, I think Dragon Penny said that sounded like Walter Masterson. It is, actually. He was working with her. He was working with her on this project. Obviously, he didn't really do this. It's just a story to gauge the reaction. Look, I try to be needlessly the devil's advocate. If I were talking to someone who's talking about randomly murdering people, I would be uncomfortable and worried that they might randomly murder me too. But we also know what he really thinks about migrants. So it is not difficult to imagine that this was actually representative. It does not particularly bother him, the idea that someone would randomly try to murder people walking near their territory. In any event, Blake Masters was not the only person that Lauren Windsor talked to. Here is her speaking with Paul Gosar.
Border right now. My family's ranch is down in Yuma, and you know, we have illegals on our land a lot. So we've shot at them, and you know, our Second Amendment rights to stand our ground. You know, I'm worried that the Democrats are gonna send me to jail, you know, if I hit one of them. Right?
They have more rights than we do.
Yeah. It's like I can't shoot at them when, you know, as they cross the border and stuff. I mean, I think I might have hit someone. And I'm like, I was distressed about it for a week. Yeah. And so I just thank you for everything
you're
doing.
You're so
well off there and everything. Well, and for election integrity.
Stay in prayer, because this country needs it. But there's a bunch of people that are ready to go into action.
Yeah.
So that is where there's no question about that interaction. He likes that the guy is shooting at people. He wants to say a prayer for that guy, not for the migrants who were theoretically killed. He says that the migrants being shot at have more rights than the murderers. I don't know in modern America whether they do. I would think that they should, though, since they're the victims of a homicidal crime. And at the end, it might have even been the worst part of that, Brett. He says there's a lot of people ready to go into action. Someone has just said, I murder migrants for sport. And he says there's a lot of people ready to go into action. So what other interpretation is there of that than we might need to start killing people? We need people like you who are willing to murder for politics.
In these last two videos by Undercurrent, thanks to Lauren Windsor and Walter Masterson. And
yes, they both did a great job.
We see the two kinds of Republican seeking power. We see the Blake Masters, who are just posers who are gonna say and do whatever they want. They know they're being wrong, they know they're being stupid, and they know they're kowtowing to people who really are hateful, and in this case, and what he understands to be homicidal, right? Then we have someone who is thoroughly bonkers, like Paul Gosar. Paul Gosar, don't take my word for it, take the word of his entire family, who has said, our brother has lost it. This is a bonkers person who believes he is the true faith militant, that believes everything he says. They are both dangerous. And losing this country to a fascist dictatorship relies on both those types. And they are chasing out the folks who have the decency to say, this is wrong, dude. This is just utterly wrong and evil, and you shouldn't behave that way. And there is no leadership among the posers, and there is no right mind among the right that's lost its mind.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to come of this investigation. I feel like that should be an issue for Paul Gosar, but he's clearly calling for organized political violence. We'll see. Anyway, great work by Lauren Windsor, great work by Walter Masterson. Everyone definitely follow the undercurrent. She's been putting out little undercover investigations like this, like for, well, literally for years, but throughout this election cycle, and really shedding light on what these people believe.
YouTube.com/TYT investigates because it redirects to the undercurrent.
It does. Anyway, with that said, let's get into our last topic to close out this first hour. What are people actually thinking about as we approach the midterms? Less than 2 weeks away, and the media is telling us what people are choosing their candidates based on. What are they actually thinking about? Well, I've been looking at a lot of different sources to try to figure this out, and I've learned some things that are not necessarily so fun, not necessarily surprising, that apparently women care more deeply about abortion in the midterms than men do. Again, if I had to put my money on it, that's what I would have predicted. I don't love it because abortion affects everyone, and I feel like men should probably take an interest in the topic. But that's just one topic. When you actually look at what they're searching online, you can find that it does change over time. And I understand for you on mobile, this is going to be indecipherable. Apologies for that. The top issues, though, of jobs and taxes apparently have been fairly consistent. You can see things like firearms, wages, Ukraine, Donald Trump, Russia. Those are all moving around, and there's a lot of variance for some topics like gas prices. It's very dependent on what the prices are like, and they've changed by up or down a dollar over the past year. Things like inflation actually changing a lot over time, and so it is complex. Now, bear in mind, what people are searching for is not necessarily the perfect stand-in for how they're determining their vote, but this is what people are looking into. It's also, by the way, not necessarily exactly what they're getting from the news. I would not rank news coverage of topics in the same way that people are searching for, Brett. But what do you make of some of this data?
Jobs and taxes are the two main priorities of people, and they remain unchanged. People do that. Firearms goes up and down. That now we've hit the 50-50 mark. Wages is under firearms for the most part, which is insane to me.
Yeah,
but it's also like a stranger word to say like you. There's more alternatives like income, jobs. But and then people down below are border and immigration, economy, gas prices, and inflation. I think the main priority for whichever side you advocate for is to just make the conversation about things you're good at and people trust you to be good at. And you need to, by choosing your battles, you're actually reminding them what they care about and how you're framing the things they care about. If you accept a challenge from the other side, you're frequently accepting a challenge to talk about something they're confident they're better at than you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I found a few of these particular things interesting. Like interest in crime has held steady, but dropped from number 10 to number 11. So still in the top 10-ish, but not number one. In a lot of these races, if you just listen to the media talk about it, they would say that that is the number one thing. Or you could interpret it as them saying they want that to be the number one thing, as Brett was alluding to. We're gonna see. We know that in a lot of these states, we're having very high voter turnout. In places like Georgia, it's going to far surpass 2018, the last midterm cycle. This is to some extent gonna influence how that plays out, and that's gonna influence how the next couple of years play out. And so, can't wait to see. I don't know about you, I'm on the edge of my seat waiting to find out what's gonna happen with some of these races. Yep. That is unfortunately all the time we have for our first hour of the show, though. Thank you everyone on the linear platforms or listening on the podcast. And as always, if you're on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review the podcast. It's very helpful. But if you're on other platforms, Twitch, YouTube, the members app, lots of stuff, we're going to be throwing away our garbage people of the week and talking about a few more bits of news on the other side of this break. So don't go anywhere. Brett and I will be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.